Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to share with you how I spent the last couple of days. I confess to you, my friends, I'm not great with self-care in terms of taking my days off. I should do a better job at that. I'm not great at that. I'm gonna work on it. I've been saying I'm gonna work on it for 10 years, but I'm still gonna say that. I ended up missing the epic white elephant party that was on Friday night. I know it was epic because that's one of the first things I heard about in this church. You should hear about the white elephant party put on by the Leopolds. And I was privileged to be invited, but I couldn't make it. And I want to tell you that I was sitting in a parking lot called the 5 Freeway. I drove up. You know that I grew up in Santa Clarita. Santa Clarita is not really far from here, like in the scheme of things, right? It's not like Grand Island, Nebraska far, right? So if you don't know, I lived for 3 years in Grand Island, Nebraska. Usually, like when we came home, the boys and I went up. When we came home last night, it was like 2 hours and 45 minutes. That's not that far. But in that parking lot of the 4.5 hours, and the reason we went up to Santa Clarita is because I went to a memorial service. We went to a memorial service yesterday. And this is a friend and mentor of mine. Her name is Candy Holsenbeck Smith. And I spoke about her just in a time of prayer several weeks ago because she is someone who was essential to me in my life of faith, but also in the process of grief after losing my mom to breast cancer. And you know, I don't know if it's the same for you, but when you go to a service of celebration of life, one of the things that seems to happen is you are reminded of the impact that somebody has, not only in your own life, but in the world. I was privileged to see my dad as one of the very few speakers who spoke about Candy. And he talked about how she started, as the director of Christian education at that church, she started the epic Sunday school Bible battles that kids still talk about. That she started a Halloween program, particularly in the craze, if you remember late 80s, early 90s, there was a particular fear about candy being tampered with on Halloween. And so she started a program where every door in the church had a church member behind it, and it was a safe place for neighborhood kids to come and trick-or-treat. And she started that program. She started a wild program called the Living Nativity, where in a parking lot, various scenes from the nativity scene would be set up with construction and actual people in costume. And people at one point would be given a tape, and later on would be given a CD, and later on there was an FM transmitter where they would hear the story of Christmas as they would go in and see these people in costume and these elaborate sets built. Last night was something like the 26th or 27th annual Living Nativity at that church. They talk about her work as a special education teacher in the same junior high school for decades, and how she not only influenced students, but she influenced other teachers, and how there are current administrators who say that they can assist with teachers of special ed and students of special ed more capably because of the lessons they learned from Candy. Like, isn't it incredible to hear the ways that someone has had an impact on the world? And when you're in those situations, to hear how someone has those impacts on your own life. You know, my own stories of Candy include going, like getting picked up from school and sitting in a restaurant and just being able to emote and say the feelings that I didn't feel like I could say to anybody else. That ministry of presence. I bring these things up because at the end of our time together after the service, and family was sort of packing stuff up and packing themselves into cars and things like that, Candy's son, Ken, came up to me. I said, Ken, I'd really like to keep in touch. And he said, I'd like that too. He said, I feel like my mom is sort of the one who was the glue who held us all together. He said, I don't want to let that go. He said, your family. Oh my gosh, I almost started to cry. See, Candy not only started all those other things, see, one of the things that she did was she started a group that was for parents who were raising kids on their own. My dad was one of those. She started a seminar for people experiencing loss through death or divorce called Who Am I Now That I Am Alone? And for all of those families, one Thanksgiving, she said, if you don't have a place to be, come to my house. And for decades, there were sometimes as many as 35 people in her crowded dining room and living room sharing a Thanksgiving meal. So when Ken said, your family, I knew that I felt it too. As we celebrate this way of thinking about family, and as we think about getting ready for Christmas, and we think about home in the context of all these weeks of sermons, part of what's important about that is family. And part of what's important about that is that understanding that family is more than those, you know, genetic connections. I would suggest that family is bigger than those genetic connections. Listen, I'm someone who really resonates with my immediate family. My sisters and I continue to be really close, right? My dad and I continue to be really close as long as we don't talk about politics. Family is critically important to me, and I understand that sense of family that goes beyond genetics. I understand that sense of family that's that connection of emotion and care. It's not always about agreement, but that sense of connectedness. Sal Butera said it really well in his stewardship video. If you remember the stewardship video, he said, when you experience family, you know it. You know it in your mind, you know it in your heart, you know it in the pit of your stomach, you know it in the deepest parts of you. When you experience family, you know it. For Sal and Deborah, that's one of the things that they experience coming into this church. And I wonder if they're not alone in that experience of coming into a place, hopefully this church, and knowing that it's family. I wonder if that was the feeling that Mary experienced when she went to her cousin's house. And not just the travel time, right? It was a bit of a distance. It was under 100 miles, as I recall, but it wasn't, you know, too far from that. So there was some travel. Remember, folks are traveling by foot in that day. I wonder when she got to her cousin Elizabeth's house. She stayed there for 3 months. I wonder if when she went to her cousin Elizabeth's house and she got there, she called out that greeting, if there was that sense, even though she'd traveled so far, that with these people, with this person, that this was home. I wonder if Elizabeth felt that way too. She saw her young cousin, because remember, there's an age gap, right? Mary is very young to be pregnant. Elizabeth is very old to be pregnant. But as Mary sees her cousin approaching, and her cousin calls out, that there is that sense of home, that emotional yet tangible sense of home. I suggest, my friends, that around the Advent and Christmas season, that sense of home is what we long for. That sense of connection is what we ache for sometimes. And when we can gather together in, of course, a safe way, but also in a meaningful way, that's what we need. That sense of connection and that sense of home. You may remember Elizabeth's response when she hears Mary's voice. I don't mean John's response. Remember John's response? He does like a flip and a twist in the womb. Honestly, I wonder if that's John's first prophecy. But what does Mary say? When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out. You know that thing where the words come out before you have a chance to think about them? I'm an extrovert. It happens to me all the time. God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her. The way I read this, Elizabeth recognizes in that moment the meaningful connection, that bond of family. In this case, genetic family, and yet, again, I think that we can be connected in that way beyond genetics. She recognized the importance of this connection. She had an emotional response and saw, even from someone young, that she had meaning, that she had impact in the world, and indeed, that she might change it. Maybe when you've been at that service of celebration of life, maybe through the tears, maybe through the grief, you've been able to experience that connection, that sense of home, and know that you have been in the presence of greatness of one who has changed the world. As we approach the Christmas season, it is my hope that we do so with open hearts and open eyes, to see those with whom we might gather, to see those who we might politely move past in a store to get that Christmas gift, to see those who cut us off in traffic, to see those in the alcoves and on the street corners with signs, and understand that we are connected, that we are family, and that in spite of our fears, we might experience that emotional connection and that sense of family. And that when we gather here in this space, and when we gather online, when we sing the familiar hymns and tell the familiar stories and sit in the pew next to someone who we see every Sunday, when we see that person's name in the live chat as they comment on the scripture or a song, when we sit next to someone who is unfamiliar and see the chat from someone who is unfamiliar, we recognize that we are connected, and it is a blessing, and it is hopeful, and it is joyful, and it is family. As we move toward Christmas, my dear friends, let us experience the blessing of connectedness, of family, of home. Amen.
We continue a time of worship in response to the word. We respond to the presence of Christ here and now. And as Pastor Bob was talking about family and home, I'm reminded that we are a family here, and we are a family with the people around us and with our world. I'm also reminded of an article by Jack Kornfield, whom I've shared about before. He talks about caring for the world as your home. So I invite all of us to respond tangibly to the message we heard today. Respond in a way that shows that we care for the people around us, the world around us, as our family, as our home. Find different ways that we can show that, whether through your actions or your words or whatever it is you can do, but make this place our home.